Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good morning. This is good morning here in beautiful Pasadena, California. And this is George, and you are, okay, so introduce yourselves. I see people in the chat room, so you have to introduce yourselves. Do you have a name? I always like the numbers, guest number. You know, it's like, you have a number. Like, never mind. We're not going to be strange today. We'll be somewhat strange, but not completely strange, right? I almost missed out the start of the show because on Facebook there was this post about in Japan where in Japan they have sanctuaries for different types of animals. Like they have a bunny island and a cat island and just cats running free. Wow. And then they have a fox village. And I was looking at the pictures of fox village. Six different species of foxes. I think I'll post it on my Facebook page if you're interested in looking at it later. But yeah, all about fox. And they're cutest little animals. And foxes are becoming more and more domesticated, you know, like their dogs, you know, wolves became dogs and dogs were domesticated 10,000 years ago or more. And now foxes are kind of going the way of the dog and being domesticated where you can actually have them as pets. Okay, that's a long story. We don't get into all that. So how is everyone doing? Are you ready for the weekend? Are you going to have some fun? I hope so. What's the show about today? It's about, for some reason, Spirit wanted me to talk about empathy, having empathy for people. And I'm relating this to, well, I'm trying to relate this a little bit to what I do and how I help people. It's about having empathy. You know, I've been thinking a lot about, as I evolve what I've been doing and change in direction a little bit. Oh, I'm alone now. Ooh. Okay, so how I change and grow in what I do, I'm thinking, how can I show value in your life, right? Or how can I add value to your life or benefit to your life in what I do? And using the word empathy, how can I be empathetic to you, the person? So I had some articles on empathy, some brainy quotes on empathy. I want to take your calls, and maybe we can get into how can I show more value or add more value to your life in relationship to empathy. And it's about soulful living and empathy. Having empathy is soulful living. If you're living from your soul, you're living from that self. Because if you think of your ego as being selfish, right? It's about you. It's about me. It's about survival of the person. Well, the soul is more about you and the community and being empathetic. Well, let me do this. You want to call in? We can do some soul readings. We can do some past life things. And if you want to know what your soul wants you to do, and I'll let my spirit guides talk to you about empathy in a minute. But there was this great article I found in my research this morning. It was about the difference between empathy. That's easy for you to say, empathy versus sympathy. Sympathy. Okay, now I'm going to get all these. Never mind. We'll go. Let me get into the article. Maybe my brain will click right. Empathy versus sympathy. Okay, good. Empathy is the ability to experience the feelings of another person. Ooh, isn't that cool? Empathy is the ability to experience the feelings of another person. I think I got into this topic the other day, and why Spirit wanted to talk about this is because my nose is running, allergies, dust everywhere. I've noticed a lot of people kind of self-absorbed in my community where it's about them, where they're not, seem to be giving off this energy of empathy, of interested in other people, wanting to know what other people are thinking or feeling, not thinking, but feeling. So it goes beyond sympathy. Okay. Boy, I'm not going to have a hard time with that word today, which is caring and understanding for the suffering of others. I'm just going to call it the S word for the rest of the show and not even try to go there, right? Both words are used similarly and often interchangeably, incorrectly so, but differ subtly in their emotional meaning. Empathy, understanding what others are feeling because you have experienced it yourself or can put yourself into their shoes. I know it's not easy to lose weight, and this is an example. I know it's not easy to lose weight because I have faced the same problems myself, or if you've had family members that have gone through, or you're understanding the nature of the problem, so you can put yourself in another person's shoes. So that's what I want to do in my work, is getting empathy for you, understanding where you're coming from. And I think I'm an empathetic person, or have empathy, or is in reading people, that's what I'm getting to, is that emotional part of where you're coming from. The S word, sympathy. Okay, I'm not going to do this right. I got musical thing in my head. Acknowledging another person's emotional hardships and providing comfort and assurance. It's a little different take on it. One, that in some cases that goes beyond being empathetic, where you actually try to do something. You know, a hug, something you do for somebody. When Trump, and his example, when people tried to make changes like this, lose weight, at first it seems difficult. And that's showing sympathy. Oh, boy, George, what is wrong with you today? You can't even, simple word like that. Okay, people and friends and community. So relationship, it's personal. Empathy is personal. The S word is friends, family, and community. Okay, let's see. Let me get into a little bit more. The emotional differences, and I'll get back to you in a minute. If you have any questions, if you want to get in the chat room, if you have questions in the chat room, if you want to call in, I'll be with you in a second. I just want to get through this so you understand where I'm coming from. We'll let Spirit talk a little bit more about this. And when I'll try to have a little empathy for you today. Okay, the feeling of sympathy emerges from the recognition that another person's suffering, in contrast to empathy, where the other person's pain or suffering is felt. So it's an emotional thing. And emotions come from the soul. Emotions come from the being. The emotions, it's not a thinking process. It's an emotional process. It's an emotional response to another person, right? A person expresses sympathy. I got it right that time. Yay! But shares empathy. The empathetic feeling may be brief, and the person feeling may be said to be put themselves in the other person's place. Of the two, empathy is a deeper feeling. So that's what I'm trying to relate to it, as being a soulful thing. If you're living from a soulful place, soulful living, you have empathy from other people. You try to put yourself in their shoes. You try to understand where they're coming from. And understanding more about people, while sympathy can be just as honest and heartfelt. However, empathy can forge a deeper and more meaningful connection, thus serving as a bridge for greater communication between individuals or between a leader and his or her followers. Okay. Okay, let me check what you guys are doing over here in the other world. I got a caller. I'll be with you in a second. Yeah, I'll go back to the article. But let me do this one thing. I know you've been holding for a few seconds. And 360 area code. And let me do this. And what really got me thinking about this a little bit even more was I saw a brief video on the CEO of Japanese Airlines, JAL. And Japanese Airlines, like a lot of companies, went through a really difficult period in the last number of years because of the economic meltdown. And as the article or the video talked about, he had a lot of empathy for his employees. He cut his salary, and he cut the salary of the executives in the company, where he ended up making the equivalent of $90,000 American dollars. I mean, this is the CEO. When you think about what American CEO is making, I bet United Airlines, if you found out what the CEO of United Airlines would be making, it's probably in the millions. Versus $90,000. He cut a lot of the perks. He eats in the cafeteria with his employees. They talked about how in Japan, the wage gap between the average worker and the executives is much narrower than in the United States. And I was thinking, well, that's a perfect example of empathy. The CEOs, the company, the managers really can be more empathetic to the people because they're actually experiencing some of the things that they're experiencing. Like the CEO of Japanese Airlines was saying that he had to put off car repairs and home repairs and air conditioning and things like that. mean, now you can really relate to people when you're going through the same stuff that they're going through, and you don't live in this beautiful castle on top of the hill, and you never can relate to people, right? So that's empathy. And I thought that was a great example, and whether we can do that in this country or not, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if we can, in the sense of owners and managers and CEOs of companies, will ever put themselves in that kind of position where they're so closer to their employees in salary and mingling, you know, just having lunch with them in the same cafeteria, eating the same food as your employees, right? Not having your own personal chef. I've heard of that. That's kind of an interesting thing, having your own personal chef. Okay, so I'll take a call. We'll get a little bit more into empathy versus sympathy. Okay, I'm not even going to use that word again. Today, I will not use that word ever again. It's out of my vocabulary, you know. Okay, you're suffering. Let me take a call. We'll have some fun. I got some other articles. I do want my spirit guides to talk to you. I did some brainy quotes on empathy. I'll get into that word today and how it relates to me and to you. It's really understanding where you're coming from. What do you want? How can I add value to your life? And trying to understand how you feel versus how I feel. You know, it's not about, you know, and in business, and I was thinking about that in business. Now, let me take a call. I can ramble on and on about being in business and working with clients and people about how having empathy is really valuable than being very selfish. Okay. Hello.
Hi, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori. How is Lori today?
Hi. Well, I was up too late.
Why?
Trying to get my paperwork together. And then,
okay.
So I woke up and then I decided I'd lay there for a little longer, and then I started having some really kind of bad dreams, like bad, really vivid bad dreams of people drowning.
Yeah, but I had a really bad dream. So I can empathize. See, I'm using the word empathy here. I can empathize with bad dreams because I had one that was really horrible.
Right.
Yeah, mine was really strange, and I don't think yours is worse than mine. Maybe it was where I was with a group of three or four people, and we had the guy in the back seat, and we're going to kill him. We were going to execute this person, but I don't know for what reason, right? Well, finally, at the end, I said, no, we can't do this. My conscience won't allow me to do this. But that really stuck with me. We're going to actually execute this person, you know, for whatever reason. So that's really, that left me in a weird emotional place. So what was your dream about?
People drowning in water, like in vehicle accidents and...
What about you? Did you drown?
No, but I was like, I had the view of them drowning.
So what does that think? What does that
like
mean to
little,
you?
I don't know.
Okay, well look at it. Let's look at it this way, because I did study dream interpretation a bit in
and
school.
There was some twins. twins drowning.
Okay, well, let's just avoid taking this as being literal, like you're going to watch as ESP or you're going to see something in the future of people drowning. Let's leave that off the table, okay? Let's just try not to go that direction with it. Let's look in terms of dreams a lot of times. Was this like early in the morning just before you got up, or was it like in the middle of the night?
In the morning.
Okay, so just before. Yeah. Now, according to what I've studied and professor I had, it was all about those early morning dreams just before you get up are releasing dreams, releasing fears, letting you look at a fear and letting it go. Okay, so what does drowning mean to you?
I was thinking it must be so horrible to drown. Like it was just such a horrible thing not to be able to breathe.
Okay, well let me do it this way. Okay, so do you have a fear of drowning in a sense, not say water drowning, but drowning in life, being overwhelmed by life, where you're submerged in life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so your fear in some way is that I'm going to be submerged by life. I'm going to drown in life because of all the responsibilities and all the problems I have, right?
Yeah.
Not literally drowning, you know, because you'd have to actually get out in the ocean and jump in the water and drown to do that. But so let's assume that your drowning is that's a figurative way of drowning for you, right?
Yeah.
And let's look at this other people as being other people drowned. Other people get you see people around you, they get submerged in life. They get drowned by life. They get overwhelmed by life, right?
Yeah.
And the interpretation I get, now think about this, is that even though it happens to other people, it doesn't have to happen to you. Okay?
Okay.
Even though other people drown in a figurative sense and get overwhelmed by life, you don't have to. It's helping you to say, okay, I'm going to let go of this fear because I don't have to drown. Even though it happens to other people, it doesn't have to happen to me. It's a releasing of fear. It's when you have those dreams, you're releasing some really deep subconscious fear that you have. And deep subconscious fear of having is, I'm going to drown in life. Life is going to overwhelm me and overtake me, and I'm just going to flip, can't come to the top and can't breathe again, in a sense, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But you got to take it as, okay, that's a fear, but the dream is telling you to let go of the fear. It's not necessarily true. It may happen to other people, but it doesn't have to happen to you.
Okay.
Now, you can look at it any way you want to look at it, but from what I've studied about dreams and isolating what this means to you is, you don't have to drown, dear. you didn't drown in your dream, did you?
No, but I was emphasizing.
Empathy. Well, you can see other people drowning, right? But it doesn't have to happen to you. You know the feeling of what it's like, but it doesn't have to happen to you. There's no predestination in your life where this has to happen. This is not, you didn't drown in the dream. You didn't get overwhelmed in the dreams to the point where you couldn't make it. You saw other people doing it, but you survived. So let go of the fear. I know that's easy to say. I'm going to let go of the fear. But the dream is telling you, you don't have to have this fear.
Okay.
And you can tell yourself, you can go into quiet meditation and say, you know what? I don't need this fear. This fear limits me and holds me back from being who I am. I want to release this fear. I want to live my life with the idea that I can overcome any problem. I can overcome any situation. I have divine guidance and got divine direction, and I can rely on my higher self, my soul, to overcome any situation in my life. I don't have to drown. I can let go of that fear. Can you? Or you can work on it.
Yeah, I'll have to work on it.
But see, does that make sense at all to you?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay, so, Lori, don't go there.
Yeah.
don't take this as a literal drowning and you're going to watch all these people die from an airplane crash or something, right? Okay?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I did see that thing where that plane did go in the water.
Yeah, see? You took an event and your subconscious mind used the event to help you to understand something about yourself. Okay?
Okay.
So no drowning is allowed. Okay.
Okay.
You'll get there.
Thank you.
Get there. But it is about trust, though. It's trusting your higher self, your soul, trusting God, that you can get the answers so that you will never be overwhelmed. Or if you start to feel overwhelmed, you will have a solution not to be submerged completely by the problems. Okay?
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, thank you.
Have some fun.
Okay.
No, have some fun. You always seem so stressed out, dear. You always seem so stressed out. You always seem anxious.
Yeah, I feel that way. Yeah.
How are you going to change that?
I'm just waiting for things to get better. I'm hoping and waiting and efforts. I'm making efforts. I'm just constantly feel like I'm just doing things. It's like, oh my God, when is anything ever going to get better?
Lori, let me give you an expression, and this is not to solve all your problems here. I can't do that. Again, you do have to make effort. But I would say to you that if you have a problem, you turn it over, and you wait for inspired action. Not just action, not any old action, right? Now, some people teach you, it's any old action will work. Just go out there and do something, right? It's like doing anything is like Don Quixote and the windmills. You know, that's just action, but it doesn't necessarily accomplish anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your case, the picture I get is really kind of, it's going into that kind of metaphorical thing, mythology. You need divine action on how to slay your dragons.
Right.
You need to know from God, okay, what sword to use, what rocket launcher to use, whatever, you know what I mean?
Correct.
The illustration is, I see this picture of a dragon, and God's handing you all this equipment to go for it and get the dragons. So you have to kind of wait for inspired direction to go, oh yeah, I got it. It's an aha. It's a knowing. It's a feeling you have inside you that says, aha, that's what I'm supposed to do. And when you have these aha, that's it, I got it, I can feel it, I know it, that's the direction I'm supposed to go, then do it. But just taking action sometimes can get really frustrating because you don't know if it's going to work.
Right.
You don't have a lot of confidence in the action because it's just something your ego says, well, this is a survival thing and you need to do this. Well, it isn't necessarily a divine thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I had this vision when I was meditating yesterday, and it was like of this window, and this it was in a couple stories up and on the window, and like a burnt gold lettering. It said "Copy Shop," COPY Shop, Copy Shop. Yeah.
Interesting. What does that mean to you? Or anything?
I was starting to wonder about that because I was thinking about, there was this art project we did where we did, I like to draw. I did in the past anyway, and I was pretty good at it. And there was this way you could copy, people's portraits and then, paint them in interesting colors. And it was an easier way to do portraiture.
Okay, then do it.
I thought about doing that.
That's an inspired thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you call that an inspired thought?
Uh-huh.
So you can follow through on it?
I'm going to try.
Lori,
yeah.
Stop. We don't use the word try. We use the words, I'm going to do it. If I don't do it well, I will learn from my experience and do it better next time.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So just do it. Just do it. You know,
okay.
Failure is not the end of the world. Failure is just a lesson to be learned and move on to the next one and learn from it and go, why did I fail? Oh, what could I have done differently? Inspire me how to do this differently. Because if it's your passion to do it, you can do it, but don't worry about failure. It's the Thomas Edison thing. That's the 10,000 attempts at doing the light bulb, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just keep doing it till you get it right. You keep doing till you get it's not about trying. It's keep doing till you get it right or till you feel like, yeah, that's it. You know, sometimes artists have to stop painting because stop changing things. At some point, you just stop changing it because it's like a writer will continue to revise a manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you got to just stop and say, okay, it's good. It feels good. It feels right. I can't continue to change this.
Right.
There is no perfection.
Right.
Okay? Go for it.
Okay? Thank you.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah. I know, those are all interesting advice, isn't it? Oh, just keep going, keep doing it, right? No, just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I don't know why I say all these things. The spirit goes, yeah. Let me have spirit talk to you about empathy for a while, and then we'll get into some, oh, let me give you a couple of brainy quotes and a couple of brainy quotes on empathy. And then we'll get it, get her done, right? We'll get her done. Have some fun today. Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the physicist. Why did I go to this page? Okay, humans aren't as good as we should be in our capacity to empathize with feelings and thoughts of others, be they humans or animals on Earth. So maybe part of our formal education should be training in empathy. Imagine how different the world would be if, in fact, that were reading, writing, arithmetic, and empathy. I like that. Well, and it's that idea in business. You know, I was in sales. And one of the emphases that I was taught in sales, in this one program, in this company I worked for, a major corporation, was about listening to your customers. What are they feeling? What, you know, it's a selling them a product. What are really their needs and wants? What do they really want? And that's listening. That's getting into who they are, putting yourself in their shoes, asking enough questions so that you really know what that person wants. And I would say that is anything, if you're in any kind of holistic practice, you know, massage, whatever it is, people come in with certain problems, like even psychics. People come in with certain problems. But what is the root? What is the deep feeling behind that? What is really going on? What is it, the ego problem, or is it the soul issue that you can have empathy for? Now, I like that. That's a cool thought. Are you having empathy for, or are you getting into the ego issue or the soul issue? And that's what I try to do. And I would say that maybe spirit's trying to remind me, that's what I do with people, is read. I have empathy. I have a deep understanding from spirit to help you through empathy. Okay? Okay, here's a quote from Daniel Pink, and I have no idea who Daniel Pink is. Empathy is about standing in someone else's shoes, feeling with her heart, seeing his or her eyes. Not only is empathy hard to outsource and automate, but it makes the world a better place. Her heart, her soul, his or her heart, her soul, empathizing with that. Getting. Do we do enough of that? Do we always have the answers before that we really get to know the feelings of the person? We do that with children, you know. Do we really get to what the child is feeling? Not just what they're saying, but what's behind the words. Because children sometimes don't know how to express, they don't have the vocabulary yet to express how they're really feeling with words. But what are they feeling? Get it? Empathy is really knowing how they're feeling about a subject. And not assuming right away, but really knowing. And that's a tough one. And that takes a lot of work. Okay, Stephen Covey. When you show deep empathy toward others, their defense mechanisms go down, and positive energy replaces it. And when you get more creative, and then you—that's when you get more creative in problem solving. Ooh, or solving problems, as he put it. I don't know why I called it problem solving. So I would emphasize to anybody who's a practitioner, or sales, or business, or anything, have empathy towards your clients, your customers, the needs of them. What is really their need? And I go back to what I do, and I really want to hear from you. What do you need? How can I make your life more valuable in what I do? And that's what I've been thinking about. That's what I'm putting out to the universe. And maybe this is the answer, empathy, having more empathy, and letting spirit, understanding you, letting spirit give you the guidance that you need based on an empathetic viewpoint of you. Does that make sense? I don't know. I have a caller, and then I'm going to let spirit talk to you about this whole thing. It's an interesting topic. It really is raising within me a lot of thoughts about helping people. Because I was in the business world. I was in sales, and we were taught a lot about selling based on benefit, but you got to know the benefit for the person. It's not your benefit, it's their benefit. What's going to benefit them? And that's really empathetic to the other person's needs, situation, the real problem, okay? The real problem, not just the superficial ego problem, right? I'll give you an example of that when I was at the business world, if you are interested. Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Hey. Hey.
Hi. My name's...
I don't think I've called you before. You're cutting out. So your name is?
Donna.
Donna, how is Donna today on this beautiful, whatever this day is? This is a Friday, isn't it?
It is. It's a nice day
Do you have plans for Valentine's Day?
I don't. I do not.
Oh, poor baby. Well, that's all right.
Some people are not into it.
Yeah, what's this thing about romance? Who needs that anyway, right?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
There's still a romantic spark within you, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on today, though?
Oh, not much. I'm just not sure. Do you give readings, like soul readings?
I do soul readings, but it's really not like what's going to happen in the future. It's like what your soul wants you to do.
Okay.
What your soul is moving you towards. But is there a specific area of your life that you're more concerned about than anything else?
Maybe career-wise would be probably...
What's wrong with career?
I'm just not fulfilled right now, so...
Ah, so you want to know if your soul... So, obviously, your soul is telling you this is not it, right?
Yeah, it is.
Your soul is saying to you, I want to do something else. But what else... What are you passionate about?
Metaphysics, the holistic health.
So why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, I just have to. I have to go probably back to school and get some training.
Let's get back to this whole thing about empathy, right?
Yeah.
And when you see other people, now this is a good way. I can see where they're going with this. This is really cool. Is when you look at other people, when you look at practice, what other people do, let's say in the metaphysical field, what do you have the most empathetic feelings towards, where you feel that if I did this, I could do a lot of good? Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of different things that you could do. I mean, you could be an acupuncturist. You could be this, you could be that. But what is your soul saying to you? I get the word creative around you. You're very creative, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm a hairstylist. That's what I'm kind of burnt out. I am more of a creative than.
Do you do any art? Do you do any art?
You know what? I don't. I like to make things like jewelry and paint. I mean, I'm not really an artist, but as far as.
You got to listen to where I'm going with this. This is what I'm kind of hearing. It's this idea that, and not necessarily you're going to make these masterful paintings and all this stuff, but it's about color. You're good with color.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're very good with color. And there's a sense of color healing. Either it be chakra healing with color, because chakras relate to color, or crystals which relate to color.
Oh, right.
It's about color. It's about some kind of form of color.
Yeah. I do.
Using color in some way of helping people. Okay?
Yeah, that's helpful, because I am drawn to the crystals. So.
Yeah, because each color, they all relate to the chakras, right?
Yeah, that's true. They are.
And so it's getting an understanding. You could take a class on this. You could study it on your own. But it's really about you. You want to heal people on a both physical and emotional level, right?
Yes.
Well, it feels like color will do that. I mean, whether it be chakras, whether it be crystals, whether it be, I almost get to this idea that you can help people design in their homes, their offices, using colors that would be the most healing for them and their clients.
Okay. That's interesting, I do like to decorate.
There we go. It's a holistic, metaphysical look at your environment. It's not feng shui, but that does play into that. You might want to study that also. But
yes.
But it's all about color more than it is about where things are located in the space.
Exactly.
It's about, like if you're doing people's hair, if you create a room that has beautiful colors that are soft and soothing, people are more relaxed, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And automatically, I say that, bet you a certain colors come into your head, right?
Yes.
Okay, boom, got it done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Explore that.
I will. Okay? I will do definitely. Thank you.
Because it
so
feels
much.
Like you would be really good with color. Okay.
Yeah.
And right. I get the word nuance around you. Do you know what I mean by nuance? Yeah, they say the men knows like six colors. We know six colors, but there's all these shades of
the
colors.
Primary colors, yeah.
We we know what a brown is, right? Guys know what brown is, but they don't know, you know, what a slight beige tone would be, right?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Pews. Pews is a color, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a purplish color.
There's primary colors and there's secondary. Yeah.
There's layers of colors, you know.
Different shades of purple.
But you understand the layers of colors, the subtlety of colors. And you also know what colors go well together.
Yes.
You're a little bit of a fashionista, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Because you don't go out of the house looking like, oh, God, what a rainbow, and that doesn't match.
No, I try not to do that, no.
So you know how to blend colors.
Yes.
Now blend colors.
You have to learn that. You learn that in cosmetology school. You have to learn.
Yeah, but you blend colors for healing.
Base colors.
And creating.
Yeah.
Okay, let me finish my point, and then you think about this. But you can blend colors for personal healing, like in chakras and crystals, but you also can blend colors for personal space.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yep.
So let's say a person's having, let's say, a heart chakra problem, you know, love, romance, well, you want to introduce a lot of greens and pinks into their environment, okay?
Yeah.
Because you want to scent that tone of healing, but also that open that pink color, that rome, that red, well, it's more of a pink. It's kind of that warm, like a warm love color, okay? Got it?
Got it. Thank you.
And if it's a throat, if people are having a hard time communicating, then there's a lot of sky blues that you can use on that.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can create, here's another one. Okay?
Okay.
And there's another idea for you. Well, you know what a mandala is? Look
I've
it
heard
up.
Of it.
But it's a wheel.
Okay,
it's a wheel of colors.
Okay.
And it's a wheel of pictures. You can create personal mandalas for people that relate to the colors that are most important for them for their own personal healing.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
That sounds interesting.
Look into it.
Thank you. I will.
You're welcome.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, I have a friend in the... Yeah, Seattle Seahawks. Now, see, you use that name and that kind of depresses me. And it's like, oh, man. And that last play, I mean, that was like... really? You threw a pass? No. You got Marshawn Lynch and he should have been running the ball, but... I read some articles. Even Mark Cuban commented on that. Don't get so down on the play. It made sense from what they were trying to attempt. But that's besides the point, because you can still blame Pete Carroll for being a loser. But one play, you know, it's not the end of the world, right? Yeah, right. My soul is moving me to grow organic. I'm reading your thing, so I get it in my head. Moving me to grow organic vegetables and veggies to feed the homeless. I brought Taco Bell. Homeless man. Okay. Just ahead. Hopefully you live in a city they allow you to do that. Some places won't let you feed the homeless because of their fear of lawsuits or poisoning or whatever it is. I don't know. So, but that's a great idea. Of feeding, growing vegetables, growing something healthy, you know, so it's not just a bottle of cheap wine, right? Abraham would say if they really need the cheap wine, then give them the cheap wine, because that makes them feel better, whatever makes them feel better. But a carrot would actually make them feel a little bit better than a bottle of cheap wine. You agree? Yes, you do. Right. Well, afterwards, he's going to feel better after he eats, right? But eating healthy organic foods is going to supplement whatever he's getting from other people, right? It's going to supplement the burger he gets from McDonald's that somebody gave him the money to buy if you give him nice little vegetables of some kind to supplement the homeless meals. Here's what I hear too. Why not give money to, grow food and give it to a shelter? Kitchen for shelters. They have some of these shelters. My friend works at a Catholic Charities, and they have a shelter for battered women and they feed them. Okay? And then that, so you could, you can contribute to a local shelter for abused and battered women, so to help feed them. That's another thing you could do, right? And connect yourself with a local shelter, that especially for women. That, I don't know why I get that, but that feels really good. And you can help women who have, you know, had a, who have been abused sexually and physically abused by partners and men who have to live in a shelter and basically are homeless because they decided that they couldn't take the abuse anymore. And they feed them at the shelters, and you might want to contribute to something like that or get involved in that by offering products to them that you grow. That's a cool thing. Think about it. And it's your choice, but that's just popped in all of a sudden. So, okay, good for you. That's an atta girl. That's having empathy for other people, isn't it? That's, that theme today is empathy. Having empathy, you can feel that. And I bet you at some point in your life that you kind of had it tough where you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from or the next week, and you kind of like, you can empathize with people that have this kind of situation. When am I going to get the next meal, right? And so, That's having empathy, but you're taking empathy into an action place. It's not just, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but it's like, I'm going to do something. I have empathy. It's like the, as I talked about, the leader, the CEO of Japanese Airlines, who had empathy for his employees and having to lay people off. And so he realized that I'll just cut my salary and I'll cut the executive salaries and I'm going to cut the perks. We're all going to eat in the cafeteria with our employees, and I'm going to not have to fire people because I'm only going to make just – he said he makes less than his pilots make now as the CEO. And I'm sure he'll take his salary back up when things turn around a little bit more. But don't you want to work for a company like that where the CEO – he was kind of laughing when he heard about, because they were telling him what American CEOs make, and he was kind of laughing like, yeah, okay, whatever, yeah, really, seriously, you know, they're out of touch. They are out of touch, I think. That's my own personal opinion. You get out of a touch with the people and the reality. Okay, I'm going to get political here, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to get into that political thing about that one. That's a tough one for me. Okay, I'm going to go in back into, I'm going to let Spirit talk to you about empathy for a minute, and then I got some articles. I want on honey I want to share. I thought it was a really cool thing about honey. And then the uses of honey, which don't seem to be the normal uses of honey. And so I'm going to go under for a minute, let Spirit Guides talk to you, Bob, and then I'll come back. And if I have time, we'll talk about honey. We would caution you a little bit. Now, George has presented some real interesting facts about empathy, and we concur that empathy is really important. But have empathy for yourselves. Don't get overwhelmed by empathy for other people. Have empathy. And now that seems kind of strange for us to say, what would you mean, have empathy for yourself? Well, know your own feelings. How are you feeling? You know, first of all, you have to know how you're feeling. How do you feel? Not necessarily, we're not saying it's wrong to know how this other person is feeling and put themselves in their shoes. But what we're saying is you really need to know how you're feeling. How are you feeling? Are you connected with your soul? What is your soul telling you and feeling about a situation, about your life, your purpose, your direction? It's good to have the external, how does this person feel? And, you know, the idea of empathy gets away from being selfish, but we want to pull you back to a little selfish here in an individual basis. And selfish being understanding who you are, what you're feeling on certain things. What do you feel about what you're doing? It's like the lady that George talked to who would recognize the feeling that she's dissatisfied with the job and she wants to shift and make a change. Now, he was able to guide her to some ideas, or we guided him to guide her to different ideas and how she can use her talents and her abilities now to transition into something that where she could help people in a different way, because she helps people. She does people's hair. She makes them look good. She makes them look beautiful, you know, and they walk out of the shop feeling good because they've done something with their hair. So her job is about, we're going to use this as an example here, about helping people feel good, giving them something to feel good about. So she's already on the road to that. So looking at your feelings and looking at having empathy for yourself and going, okay, I want to make a change. So what am I doing that helps other people to feel good, and I feel good in return for doing that? Are you feeling good about what you're doing and helping people in the way you're helping? And I want to make some changes, and I want to do something different. So how does that feel? How does that feel to you to make that change? When you think about doing something, how does that feel to you? If you see somebody in a job, how does that feel to you? Do you kind of resonate with that? Does that feel good? Can your soul tell you, yeah, you got to do that. You got to do that. That would be good for you. So experiencing. Why do we? And it's the same thing with relationships, isn't it? You meet people. Sometimes they feel really good. What is your soul responding to you? You know, George went on a date, and we can use this as an example. Pleasant person, a nice person, interesting person. But he was left kind of in this neutral state of no real feelings, one way or the other. No dislike, but no feelings of emotions, of passion, of connection. So when you meet people, now it takes time to develop it in some cases, but if you're with somebody for a few hours or an hour or two, your soul will respond. The essence within you will respond, and you need to listen to that. Don't listen to your ego. Don't listen to that sexual thing that's going on in your head, well, in your body in some cases. Listen to your soul when meeting somebody, talking to somebody. How does it feel? How do they feel to you? Do you get that energy back, like, whoa, that magic back? And that's empathy. That's reading the feelings of both of you together, getting into somebody's feelings and how you feel about the situation. Are you getting that feedback, that emotional feedback, that connection feedback? I know we're going a little bit off topic here, but don't feel bad if you don't have the connection with somebody. Don't try to make it happen just because you're supposed to make it happen with somebody. Oh, they're a nice person and we have a lot of interest and blah, blah, blah. No, stop. Now, sometimes it takes time, but in the most cases, if you're being drawn to somebody, if the universe is putting somebody out in front of you, then you're going to have that feeling. Yes or no? A or B? Yes or no? It won't take long to get it. Because if you're asking for connections, you're asking somebody in a romantic partnership relationship situation, and the universe is dropping people in front of you to take a look at, if it's the person that the universe wants you to connect with and feels that you should connect with, you'll get that feeling. You'll get that feeling. It'll happen. Because they were brought to you knowing your soul and their soul, from our perspective, not your perspective, from our perspective, that there's going to be this chemistry, this feeling. Did you think about that? If you're asking God to bring somebody in your life, and God's going to plop somebody down in front of you, God knows that there's going to be that emotional connection. Now, it could be your ego attracting somebody, or it comes from some other direction, but if it's a divine driven connection between two people, you're going to feel it. It's going to happen. It's right away. And you'll know it. And it'll build. But if it's not, and it just happenstance, or maybe the person is coming into your life to teach you something, to learn more about what you want, not what you don't want. Sometimes people show up in your lives because you have been attracting people, the people that you don't want, by thinking about the people that you don't want. And they're not the divinely directed person in your life. If you've been thinking about all the things that you don't like and about a person, or the characteristics, or the whatever, the physicality of somebody, you keep thinking about what you don't like. Well, the universe will respond that way. The universe will respond that way. I know we're going off on a whole different topic, but it's just kind of plopped in, and George is thinking about this, so we thought we'd go with it. But if you're putting out the energy of what you do want, and if you're putting out the energy of what would help you to feel good when you saw somebody, not just physicality, but just generally, what you're putting out there is you just want to have that connection. You just want that connection. You just want that, wow, magic. The universe will start applying it to you. Start bringing that into your life, and you'll feel it. But if you keep thinking about what didn't work and the kind of people that came in your life that didn't work for you, you're going to attract more of those. Law of attraction. Now, we won't get into why George, this woman attracted George to come into his life, her life, but that's a whole different story. Okay, so we'll leave you with that. But think about that. Just think about that, okay? Put out to the universe for what you want to attract as in an emotional feeling when you meet somebody or a job. How does that feel? Tapping into your own feelings, having empathy for your own feelings. How do you want that job to feel, that occupation to feel? How do you want that person to feel when you meet them? Tap into that versus those qualities that you think you should have, right? Okay, we'll leave you with that. Have a beautiful weekend. Have some fun. Practice trying to see who or what or where or the occupations or whatever you're trying to attract. How does it feel when you see people doing this? Or how does it feel when you see certain people? How does the heart resonate? How does the soul resonate with those people? You'll find yourself attracting things that feel really, really good, where you feel those magical connections. So thank you. Bye. Okay, I'm back. Oh, I'm back. That was interesting. They got off on a whole different topic, didn't they? So, what are we doing? Okay, we're going to get into the rest of the show. What are we doing? We're going to get into the rest of the show. What am I doing now? I was going to talk about honey. And if you have any comments or thoughts, or you want to call in, talk about soul readings and, you know, what's going on. But let me get into, because I thought this was a really interesting article. I was looking at articles about just kind of, sometimes what I call filler articles, but some things that just strike my interest. Okay. Honey, then this is the benefits, many of the benefits of honey. Heals infections. Honey can heal infections and can be used as an anti-inflammatory as well. Scientists found that protein in honey has antibacterial properties. Interesting thought. A spoonful of honey. Yeah, a spoon. Isn't there a song about the spoonful of honey, right? A little spoonful of honey. Okay, let's get into the next one. That was kind of a fascinating thought. Okay, a honey mask. Ooh, try using a raw honey mask to help moisturize and purify your skin. Gently massage into the skin and rinse. Ooh, you know, sometimes our skin gets really dry, faces and hands and feet. How about some little honey and then, you know, okay. Now, I would recommend, and this has been recommended in many other places, that if you buy honey, especially if you're going to ingest honey, because honey is really good for allergies and helping to deal with your allergies and all that sort of thing, buy locally grown honey that comes from local hives where the bees have actually been pollinating and taking pollen from plants that may affect you, if that makes sense. So locally grown honey is probably the best for you because it's honey from your environment around you, and then as helping with allergies, it's based on the plants and flowers and so forth that may be affecting you, and it'll help you in that way. It won't make it worse. It'll actually make it a lot better. That seems kind of contradictory, but it's not. It's true. Exfoliate. Add baking soda, honey, and water to exfoliate your skin. Take a teaspoon or more of honey, add a pinch of baking soda and water. And they got this picture of this lady, this mask of honey and whatever she's got on it. Didn't look like baking soda to me, but Okay, but you got the idea. Then rinse it off with water. Make this little paste and put it on your face to exfoliate your face. I never thought that honey did all this stuff. You guys might be more aware than I am about this. Scars. Spread honey over scars to help the healing process because it fights its ability to fight microorganisms. You got little scars, little cuts on your hands. Bada bing, bada boom. A little honey, okay, helps fight it. Isn't that fascinating? What do you think? Plump up your skin. Try using honey to tightening and plump your skin. Use a mixture of egg whites, honey, and moisturizer. Okay, I'm not going to deal into all of this, but I think that's fascinating. But honey is really good for allergies, and if you're allergic to things in your environment. And then the last one is remove blackheads, and there's no description on that. So using honey, there's all these different uses for honey, which people don't realize. But I like that one about scars and cuts and bruises. I think I missed a page. Let me see. Let me go back. I think I didn't start at page one. Let me go back to page one. Okay. Yeah, Egyptians use honey as an antiseptic, a way of preventing body decay and also to aid upset stomachs. During World War One, soldiers were treated a mixture of honey and cod liver oil to open sores. Today, his honey is just as remarkable for cuts, scrapes, and to keep a youthful appearance. So, yeah, pour a little honey on those cuts. Rub it in. Okay? Enough of that, right? Having fun. I got about 3 minutes left. What I have left to do? Let me have another brainy quote. If you're still with me today on empathy, another brainy quote or two on empathy, and then we'll kind of be the end of it. I'll be back on Monday. We'll have some fun. Okay, Oprah Winfrey, the struggle of my life created empathy. I could relate to pain, being abandoned, having people not love me. What do you think? You know, so sometimes the things that we see in our lives that we don't want help us create empathy for other people. That in our cause of working with people, we start to have empathy. We go, oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I went through that. I can feel that. I can understand that. I think we all have empathy. We may not have enough courage to display it. Maya Angelou said that. Okay, what am I doing? Yeah. Okay. Now, there was another. I'm going to go to the next page. Oh, Meryl Streep. And they have a lot of artists and so forth that they get quotes from musicians, actors. The great gift of human being is that we have the power of empathy. There was one quote I really liked from another actor, which I think we could all use at some level. If I can find it again. Find it again, find it again, find it again. I know I'm going to run out of time before I find the quote, right? No, please find the quote. Yes, I'm trying to fill here a little bit because I'm trying to find this quote. There's no way to page mark these quotes, so you have to kind of go through them all. And it was by Edward Norton, who's one of the great actors of our time. Okay, I'm not going to find it. Yes, but I'll read you one quote that was kind of funny. It was by Patrick Stewart, actor, you know, Star Trek, The Next Generation, X-Men, playing many roles of scientific intellect. I do have an empathy for that world. It's been hard for me because flying the Enterprise for 7 years in Star Trek or sitting in the Cerebro in X-Men has led people to believe that I know what I'm talking about. But I am still trying to work out how to operate the air conditioning unit of my car. You know, as an actor, you learn to have empathy for the character, empathy for people's situations, and empathy for your job. But it doesn't always relate to your own life, does it? If you can't do the air conditioning, right? Okay, so it's been fun. I will be back on Monday. Hopefully everybody has a wonderful weekend. I love you guys. I've been posting blogs. And if you go to my blog page, and I don't think it's on here, but if you go to my website, and I believe, I'm also on Google Plus, and all that Google Plus has all that. So if you want to find me in Google Plus, please do, because I have all that posted for page, you know, blog pages and websites. And if you want to get into we join circles. I like that little join circles. We can even chat on Google Plus. that's a possibility. So, it's been fun. And what else can I leave you with this week? Do something really nice for yourself this weekend. Do something really special for you and share it. Share what you do for you. Okay? So, take care. It's been fun. Bye.